Okay, so let's move into the next section, chapter 8, 27 and following. And I've put the theme here of Jesus is teaching his disciples the way of discipleship, what it means to be a disciple. And really, finally, what we might call the way of the cross. Jesus is going to teach them that he needs to die, and for them to be true disciples, they also need to be willing to take up the cross and follow him on that way to death. So 8:27 is what is often referred to as probably the turning point in the Gospel of Mark. It's a very dramatic scene. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give different responses. Some people say that you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. John the Baptist has already been put to death at this point, his head chopped off, if you remember that story. But some people apparently believe that Jesus was John the Baptist back from the dead. Others say that you are Elijah, because you remember from the Old Testament that Elijah was taken up into heaven by God and was to return again at the end times. Others say that he's one of the prophets. But then he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ." So Peter's confession. And again, he charges them to tell no one about this, to keep it secret. Now, the reason this is so significant in Mark's gospel is that because to this point, no human being has yet recognized Jesus for who he is. Some of the demons who have been healed have acknowledged him. The supernatural powers, it seems, can recognize a supernatural power in the presence. But as we've seen repeatedly, the people in the gospel are resistant, most of them, with a few exceptions. The exceptions are, interestingly, normally the outsiders. Gentiles believe. Jesus' own family does not believe. His own disciples don't understand him. And certainly the authorities resist him. But now we finally get Peter confessing. And, you know, we're not told how he comes to this. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that it's by divine revelation. God has revealed it to Peter that Jesus is the Christ. But in any case, we finally get one of the disciples understanding who Jesus is. But then, lest we think, okay, now all is well and good, look at the next scene. Immediately after Jesus' identity as Christ or as Messiah has been revealed, he now begins to teach them that he must suffer and be rejected and die, be killed, and then on the third day rise again. And as he said this, and then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But then Jesus rebukes Peter in turn and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." Or another way you could translate that is, you don't see things in God's way, but in a human way. I'd actually prefer to translate it that way. So immediately after we're told, or someone realizes that Jesus is the Christ, he immediately comments or teaches the disciples about what that means for him. And what it means is that he needs to suffer and die. And you can imagine why Peter would have rejected this or rebuked Jesus, because many people that day believed that the Messiah, when he came, would be a heroic figure, victorious, right? I mean, one of the great ironies, I suppose, of the gospel is that while many Jews believed that the Messiah would drive out the Romans, overcome the Roman, you know, Roman overlords, power over the Jewish people, Jesus does just the opposite. He becomes a victim. He suffers death at the hands of a Roman governor. And so that's turning everything, in a sense, on its head. And Peter can't accept it. But Jesus, in very strong language, says, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan is a term that in Hebrew means an adversary, an opponent. There could be a suggestion here, I suppose, that Jesus is even saying that Peter is under the influence of the demonic in some way and resisting Jesus. But at a more general level, you could also just say that Peter is opposing Jesus' mission, God's mission for Jesus. But Jesus says, Peter, you don't see things the right way still, right? You need to see things as I see them. You need to see things as God sees them, not as humans see them. And this will be one of the most important messages that comes through to us through the Gospel of Mark, which I will take up next time as well, that the Gospel of Mark is really teaching us to understand that in order to understand who Jesus is, we can't begin with our own conceptions about the world. We have to be taught by Jesus, by scriptures, to understand God's ways in the world. Right? God's ways are not our ways. And the crucifixion of Jesus will be the ultimate example of this, that God has chosen to work his salvation for us precisely through death and suffering. Okay. Well, we're going to have to stop here. We only have one more week left. What I want to do next week is we will very quickly move through the rest. And then I do want to spend some time at the end, at least a good maybe 20 minutes at least next time, bringing everything together, summarizing, tying things together with an indication of what most of all I think we can learn and take away from the Gospel of Mark for our understanding of faith. But we might just close with a prayer. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the chance to worship you, to learn from your word what it means for your kingdom to have come to us in Jesus, for salvation to come to us in Jesus. And we pray that you'd be with us this week, protect us, bless us, and bring us back next week again to worship you and also to learn again from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.